Is Tanya Currie on the line?
Yes, she is.
Oh, Tanya Currie. A very good morning. How are you?
I'm so happy it's Friday.
Me too. Me too. Although I was so ill this week, I kind of missed half of the week. You know, when you're just like out of it.
Oh, no, Howard, like I heard nothing but your complaints since I've checked in.
Oh, wait, you
so
imagine?
That's typical male.
It gets worse. My wife actually went overseas. She left me because she couldn't cope anymore. She actually said, it's just enough. You know what? Unless you're going to die, I'm out of here. I can't anymore.
Sorry, Howard. So you've been a bit poorly, my darling.
Yes, very poorly. Very.
Very poorly.
Very, very poorly. And the funniest story was we were talking, we've spoken about Archie quite extensively, and we renamed our one cat Archie, and because it's a redhead, and I happened to mention it on the radio. Anyway, the other night, there I am at 12 o'clock midnight, lying on the bathroom floor. My wife calls the emergency to actually help because I was in and out of it. I didn't quite manage so well. And the first responders arrive. Anyway, they're dealing with me on the bathroom floor. And the one guy looks up and says, is that the cat you've renamed Archie?
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah, so there I was. There I was on the bathroom floor saying, no, please, please.
Sam Hartzell, you were very ill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very.
Okay, so this is not man flu. This is like
I think, this should be man flu.
What do you mean that you think it should be man flu?
I mean, the intensity, you've got to be this level of sick.
Right.
Yeah,
this is how man flu should be.
But Johnny, they were begging me to eat. It was the best thing ever.
You what?
They were begging me to eat something. Eat something. No one's ever begged me to eat ever. In my whole life, I've never been begged to eat.
What was it, Howard, just about?
Yeah, must have been. Either way, thank goodness it is all, it's all over and I'm back feeling. You know, the fact that I am now complaining is the best part because.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I can hear that.
Anyway, Tanya, how are you? Tell us what's going on in the world of social media this week.
Wow. Aren't we all glad that elections is over? I think South Africa has breathed a collective sigh of relief. As the polls have been counted, there was so much uproar about double voting, and we spoke about that last week, and that's all dissipated. And now we all eyes are on ANC's Ramaphosa to see what his cabinet is going to do. And there's lots of leaked cabinet lists. I'm sure you've got some for sure, right?
Yeah, so we keep getting them, and I don't know what is true and what is untrue. It's very confusing.
I know. Yeah, and maybe it's been sent to make us a little bit confused. But yeah, the cabinet list making their rounds are certainly not very impressive. So let's hope that when we get to the actual day. When is the day?
I don't know.
Cabinet
I was just going to say, I don't know when he has day? To, when does he have to announce his cabinet? When is he going to announce it?
The names have been gazetted.
But have they?
Yeah.
So those list, that list that we see with all those horrors, already. Those five horrors on it.
Yeah, Batabile is there, Nombula is there, Malusi is there, Mondli, who's the other one? Masuta's not back. One of the most hardworking people. Not back in his cabinet.
Is Derek Hanekom on there? Because the list I saw, there was no Derek Hanekom.
I didn't see him on the list either.
I think Hanekom and Masuta. I know it's him and someone else. I think it might be Hanekom.
Wow. I don't know.
Well, that will be a large tragedy. But anyway, huge speculation about the new cabinet. I see it's not speculation anymore. Mm. But I have a point here. I think he's been quite clever. Those people we don't want to see in parliament, and of course the Zana Dlamini Zumas and the Batabile Dlaminis, are all going to eventually be taken to task from a legal perspective.
Yes.
And I think it's difficult for the president to say, because Zana, you gotta go, because we'll have an issue with the Zuma faction.
Yeah.
And we can pretend that there isn't one, but there's certainly two ANCs in our Definitely. Parliament. Mm. The good and the bad, if you like.
but you know, when I think about somebody like Batabile, I feel like she shouldn't be in because she was useless. She messed up. She did a terrible thing.
Her and Nomvula is also.
Yeah, they both messed up.
My favorite.
So even if the allegations, of corruption are not proven. Mm-hmm. They were horrendous at their jobs. So for that reason alone, they shouldn't be. So you can't hide behind, well, they haven't been found guilty. They were awful in their positions.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's hiding behind, Howard. Imagine now if he did get rid of Ace Magashula and Batsibile Dlamini, etc.
No, no, it would collapse.
It's on our streets.
No, you're quite right, actually. Yeah. You are quite right. I think it is more serious than that.
I think he's just letting justice roll its course, and then he can't be blamed. Yeah. You know?
Yes, yes.
So I think it's quite clever, but it's slow, and South Africans are impatient. And we're also used to Zuma-type politics where everything happens overnight at midnight.
Literally at
So now, when it takes months, we're not happy, you know? So anyway, the big focus, between that and the inauguration, between now and the 25th of May, is going to be the cabinet. But it's nice to see that the election story is starting to dissipate. It's 52% of our chance. It's still half of what we've been discussing. But I'm hoping by next week, we start seeing other stories filter through. And then Mother's Day. Mother's Day didn't get lost. I'm so glad to hear that. 17% of our conversation focused on our mommies. And I hope you, the mothers out there, had a lovely Mother's Day. What did you do for your mommy, Howard, or your mother-in-law?
Well, my mother, unfortunately, is no longer with us. My mother-in-law overseas, but what we went out with our kids with my wife, and we had a lovely day. It was absolutely lovely. And the restaurant,
it
the
is
place
a nice
we
day.
Went
it's one
to,
of my favorite commercial holidays.
It was so nice, yeah. It was, they turned the whole restaurant into like a buffet, so there was no, you know, you always go to these restaurants and it's chaos. Yeah. So what they did was they sort of simplified and said, you can't order off a menu because it's just so busy. And they just had this buffet and it was lovely. We had a lovely, lovely morning, I must say.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. I'm so glad to hear it. Then state capture inquiry comes in at number 3, 12.1%. Mm-hmm. And a penny dropped for me.
Tell me.
Anuj Singh and Brian Malefe, they've been the two that have been going around sorting all the stuff out for Zuma and his cahoots. So you'll remember from Eskom that those two names were huge when we did the Eskom inquiry, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But these same two are the ones that are being the front leaders in the Transnet looting. Except that Transnet was before Eskom, so they didn't really know what they were doing. So they just walked in and took money. And the amount of money, you cannot believe. They changed one invoice from 45 billion, which was also a ruse, 45 billion to 60 billion, just like that. And then just took the money. There was no processes. Nobody sat down with the board. It was all done on a memo.
Unbelievable. I think none of us knew. I think even they knew. Like nobody even actually understood how serious and where this was going.
And the fact that they have been the orchestrators at Transnet now shows a pattern, because then they moved to Eskom and did the same thing, but they got smarter at Eskom and now started following procedures and making fake tenders. And my goodness, McKinsey. So Transnet was doing fairly well. And then all of a sudden McKinsey walked in and said, no, you have to use regiments or trillion. So it started with regiments, which was the Gupta company. And then when regiments had its issues, it transferred everything across to trillion overnight. And trillion continued trading with Transnet. So the level of looting is just – it's so blatant. Nobody even tried to hide anything. And we are talking about tens of billions here. So 12.1% to the Transnet section of the state capture inquiry. And it certainly kept me on the edge of my seat this week.
When does this – do you know when the state capture inquiry actually comes to an end and they can actually start prosecuting people?
Well, Howard, it seems to be that we're looking at a good 2 year straight with a capture inquiry, but then we have seen arrests
that's
as
a
we
lot
go
of
along.
Capture.
A long capture inquiry. Wow, yeah, exactly. Wow, wow. So, I mean, well, it is 10 years of absolute chaos that they're unraveling. But what we have seen, like with Basas, is the arrests have started. So I don't think we're going to wait till the end of the inquiry.
That's good.
I mean, if they do that, the president will be halfway through his term.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's the question on everyone's lips is, when are we going to see orange overalls? And I'm hoping that we're going to see some very, very soon.
I'm just so glad that the EFF didn't choose orange, because that would have been so confusing.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Oh my word. And then the Nedbank Cup and Eskom, those two come in as numbers 4 and 5. Eskom is there largely because we were jesting that now the elections are over and now the load shedding will begin. But then also because the president yesterday said they're keeping the lights on during winter. So that makes me happy. So Eskom, a smaller chunk, but still there. Nedbank Cup, the biggest positive net sentiment. We need something to take our eyes away from the news media.
We do, desperately. South Africans are desperate to have something to... We need another Marilees, maybe.
We so need another Marilees. I miss Marilees.
Me too.
And then Jidizani Zuma. Okay, yes. So I'm confused for several reasons. I thought this was done. Why is he back in court?
No, I don't think they actually had. I think it was the first time he came in. I think it was just to sort of set the, you know, list what the charges were, do the pleading and all of that. I think now's the actual story.
Yeah, now's the actual trial.
Oh, okay. So, well, we heard yesterday that he told the police he was doing 70 k's an hour. And then on under oath, he admitted that he was doing about 80 or 90. So now already the lies are coming out, and social media certainly focused on that. And, of course, Jidizani Zuma is a very good-looking man. So there was also that element on social media.
I'm not even gay, and I found it hard to hate him.
I know. He's gorgeous. I know. It's a problem. It's a big problem.
Yeah.
And then everybody's favorite, Ace Magashule.
Ooh, the man we love to hate. Yeah.
Public enemy number one. Ace Magashule is back on the charts, largely because of his public spat with the rest of the ANC, saying that it had nothing to do with Ramaphosa. Them winning the elections, and they mustn't think that this is a Ramaphosa show. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the rest of the ANC retaliated. So if anybody thought there wasn't a faction in the ANC, it definitely brought it to the fore.
You know what?
So he comes in number eight.
It's so interesting because I did a look at a lot of the posters. I always look at their marketing and you know, even the whole DA thing, I called it the whole way through that they were going to drop the ball because of the, of their marketing. I've hated it. But if you look at the ANC, they said a lot of their posters had Cyril Ramaphosa's face on it and it said Cyril Ramaphosa for president. And what they did was it created the illusion that you're voting for a man and not a party. So the ANC knew full well to market Cyril and not the party, because the party had nothing to offer. So for Ace to turn around and say the ANC won it, they didn't. No. Cyril Ramaphosa won that election. Yeah.
And even
100%. And I think it's the first time in this country where we voted for a person rather than a party. Yeah. And you're so right. You're so right. And had Ramaphosa not been there, the ANC would have had a very different outcome at the polls.
Yeah. I don't think they even can imagine, you know, if they lost those couple of 4-5%, whatever it was, if they didn't have Cyril, I think they would have lost another 10 or 15% without a doubt.
And they know because even throughout the elections, anyone from a lot of the party leaders, when they were asked, they would specifically say, listen, we know the ANC has wronged you. Don't be mad at Ramaphosa. Just be mad at the party.
Yes.
Ramaphosa's here to fix the party. You know, so you're voting for Ramaphosa. We know you're angry at the ANC, but Ramaphosa's here. So it's a shock for me when Ace comes back one day and says, no, listen.
Yeah, look,
the party is in good standing.
I think he's nervous. I just have to read you one SMS, Tanya. It's for you. It says, Tanya, your laugh literally makes my day happy.
Oh, thank you.
So
that makes me happy.
Absolutely. What else you got on social media?
Well, there is certainly the story about, my heart broke for the Gift of the Givers and Makhanda. What on earth?
What is
guys?
Going on there? So this was one of the days that I wasn't, that I was very out of it. And I kept seeing this headline and it totally confuses me. So
what happened? You know, they've had the water crisis.
Yes. And they were helping, they were bringing water. They were helping in that crisis.
Another issue is the municipality saying we did not have an agreement with Gift of the Givers to pay them. for the work that they did and the service that they give. And Gift of the Givers are saying, listen, we're leaving because you guys are not paying. So that's literally what it is. It's a payment dispute. The municipality saying,
what about the people?
Well, this is the thing. Firstly, yes, they said they didn't have an agreement with the municipality, but two other suppliers had been paid who also didn't have that agreement. So that's not true, number one. The second thing is the people, can we worry about the people who don't have water?
That's
and forget
exactly
about
the
our
point.
Own,
that's exactly
our own
the
agendas
point.
Here,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Gift of the Givers, I mean, they do such
and
good work.
And I was
going
to say, you know, they've got such credibility in the space. So, you know, if it's someone you no one had ever heard of and they muscled their way in there and they were selling water at a premium, you know what? I can maybe understand it. But this organization has credibility. You know, they go to Mozambique when other people don't go to Mozambique. They're there. They are doing these things.
And they've been there for 3 years. They've been doing good work.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not acceptable at all. Anyway, so this makes the largest negative net sentiment of our charts, -80%. People are so angry and it's dropping. The sentiment is dropping by 358% hour upon hour. Mm-hmm. We're very angry about that particular story and watch that story because it's going to become bigger over the weekend for sure. But there's some that didn't make the charts and I'm so gutted because I really wanted to talk about.
So I want to come back to this, Tanya. Let's talk about what didn't make the charts just after the news. Tanya Curry back with us. Tanya, what were the stories that didn't make the social media this week?
Firstly, I want to understand Eurovision.
Nobody does. You cannot even try.
It's the worst songs in the world
ever
to the stadium.
Yes. It is basically – look, what I love about it is it's absolute unapologetic kitsch. It is, and it's just the funniest.
So nasty.
It is honestly the worst, which actually kind of makes it fun because it's just so bad. I don't even know how it even happens. You've got Australia, not Austria, Australia participating in Eurovision. Somebody got it mixed up and must have said Australia when they meant Austria. Boom. Australia's it. What is Israel doing in it? Israel's in Asia. Like, nothing makes any sense.
Does South Africa attend? No.
No, we don't.
I don't even...
Oh, thank God. Because,
I was just going to say, please allow us that.
The first time I found out about Eurovision is when I started working here.
No, but it's huge. You don't understand it. It's around the world, this is major. But it is so...
Yeah. Such rubbish.
It is so bad. It is absolutely unbelievable. Anyway. Tanya, tell us about the stories that didn't make, that didn't make it.
Okay, so, like, I'm confused. Babes or Dumu? What on earth is going on?
Was
it a video? Has she just gone back to him like an abused wife does? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know.
I think we just need to, let's leave them alone.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. You can't leave them alone, and I'll tell you why. Is because whatever the story is, doesn't go in the right direction. So was it a publicity stunt?
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
But then
they need to be called out for it because real abuse needs to be called out, not fake abuse. Okay, so that's number one. If it was real abuse, then this is Stockholm syndrome, or this is a typical abuser, a relationship where somehow he's got her back. And that's also a, actually a story that we should be following.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I'm confused. Like also social media drives me nuts, especially Twitter, because they started talking about drink water. Don't talk about Babes or Duma and Mampincha. Drink water. What is drink water? Does anybody know what drink water was about?
No.
I don't know if the song had something that they released had something to do about drink water. I don't know. But drink water started trending and I couldn't work out what it was and it was so frustrating. But anyway, so Babes and Mampincha are back together. They've put out, and DJ Tera is pulled back into the mix where he distanced himself from Mampincha when the situation occurred. In fact, he dropped him as an artist. So I'm so confused. But anyway, so Babes and Numa didn't make the charts and I feel like she should have. And here's one for you, Howard. Plastic bags have been banned in Sandton City.
Really?
Yeah.
What about only designer bags only? Louis Vuittons.
Louis Vuittons.
Yeah, you know, some of our government members like those for carrying
You know,
little...
but I think it's time. Like in the UK, you get brown, it's all brown bags.
There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's very good.
Why are we still using plastic if it's making such a big issue, guys?
Well, the whole point is that I didn't like was charging extra for them because I don't think that was a deterrent. If you needed a bag, you bought one. Yeah. So for a couple of cents, it didn't really make a difference. So either it's a problem or it's not a problem. So then let's find an alternative.
Yeah.
Exactly. I went into Spa once and had the alternative. So I went for the brown paper bag and it cost me $10. I was like, no, I won't be doing that again.
No, absolutely. because that's real money. You know, well, you start adding that up every time you go shopping.
$10 is a lot of money in my world.
No, but every time you go shopping, you add that up over a year. It's not insignificant.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And then probably my favorite story of the week, which is why I'm so sad it didn't make the charts, is the spat between Carl Niehaus, Derek Hanekom, and Minister, I wanted to give him the word, but I can't. It's live radio. So let's just call him as Razzmatazz. Him and Carl Niehaus and Derek Hanekom had a huge spat on Twitter. Did you watch the story?
No.
I saw a little bit of it, but I didn't want to follow it because it was probably Figile's third one. In the week.
You mean you've only got one a week that you can
follow? Yeah, I can only do one.
What was going on?
So Fikile Mbalula attacked Carl Niehaus and said that, you know, that they don't belong in parliament and, that they're crooks. And I'm looking for the original tweets that I can tell you. And then Carl Niehaus started taking shots at him on Twitter, and the next thing, Fikile Mbalula blocked Carl Niehaus. Ooh. Well, did Carl Niehaus enjoy that? This young chap, Minister FF, Fikile Mbalula, has gone and blocked me. He seems to fear so much, especially the engagement about his blatant opportunism, careerism, and lack of respect for his seniors, such as the Security General of the ANC, Comrade Ace Magashula. Talk about real cowardice. Wow. And then Derek Hanekom couldn't help himself. Carl, let's rather talk about the money you took from the people with your story about having bone marrow cancer.
Oh my God.
A deputy minister even went to the funeral of your mother only to discover that she was still alive.
Oh my word.
Oh, it was such an entertaining conversation. So again, if people don't think there's two factions in the ANC and maybe even more, then they're very wrong because it's coming out in the woodwork now that the elections is over.
Absolutely, Tanya Currie. This is where we love and leave you. Absolutely wonderful to speak to you and we'll catch you next week. Have a well-deserved rest this weekend and I hope it's going well with Ramadan, with fasting, and it is a meaningful time for you.